Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Gradually, as the mind becomes progressively spiritualized, withdraw it from sense activities, and by intelligence the senses will be controlled. The mind, too absorbed in material activities, can be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead and become fixed in full transcendental consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The first process of spiritualizing the mind by mechanical chanting of the pranav, omkar, and by control of the breathing system is technically called the mystic or yogic process of pranayama, or fully controlling the breathing air. The ultimate state of this pranayama system is to be fixed in trance, technically called samadhi. But experience has proven that even the samadhi stage also fails to control the materially absorbed mind. For example, the great mystic Vishvamitra Muni, even in the stage of samadhi, became a victim of the senses and cohabited with Menaka. History has already recorded this. The mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the next step of assured policy, namely to fix one's mind in the service of the personality of Godhead. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also recommends this direct process in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 47. Thus, the mind being spiritually cleansed, one should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord by the different devotional activities of hearing, chanting, etc. If performed under proper guidance, that is the surest path of progress, even for the disturbed mind. Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, as he fairly often does, the example of how Vishvamitra, a highly advanced yogi, fell from the platform of yoga to that of sense enjoyment simply by hearing the tinkling of the ankle bells of Menaka, which is quite astonishing if we consider that he was engaged in yoga practice and had been engaged for many, many years. He was steadfast in his yoga practice. And yoga means yoga indriya samyamya. Yoga, at least the beginning of yoga, must be to control the senses, to bring them under control, which he had been successfully doing for many, many years. Then he heard the tinkling of the ankle bells of Menaka. And he must have known or suspected that this is Indra's doing. It's the standard trick of Indra when he sees any rishi becoming powerful. Indra becomes afraid that his own power will be usurped, and therefore he sends an apsara, beautiful girl from the heavenly planets, to tempt the yogi. Now why should a yogi be tempted when he's specifically taken up that very difficult practice for the sake of overcoming all material desires, among which he knows that the sexual desire is the grossest and the most entangling? But still they fall down. Why is that? How can that be? Srila Prabhupada gives some insight. He's in this purport, he states that the mind, although ceasing to think of sensual activities at present, remembers past sensual activities from the subconscious status and thus disturbs one from 100% engagement in self-realization. Well, that's more to do with
the struggle of the yogi, that may be either the Ashtanga yogi like Vishwamitra or the Bhakti yogi, means he decides, no, I'm not going to even think about sense enjoyment. But from deep within this consciousness, this Freud, he talked about subliminal desires, the subconsciousness, and in the Vedic psychology, this is already discussed with the term vasana, which means a deep-rooted desire, very deep in the consciousness. We may not even be aware of it. We might think at some point, well, now I'm free from material desire, I'm practically free, but we don't know those deep desires lurking within the heart, just like someone may be living in a place and very peacefully and happily, and they don't suspect that it's volcanic in the area, and at some point the volcano just erupts and kills them all. So, or they may think that it could erupt any time, but it's not very likely. Even today, there's a whole huge city built on the slopes or just next to this Vesuvius, maybe the world's most famous volcano. Can erupt any time. It's highly fertile land, so there are many farms there. They take the risk. They don't know. It may erupt at any time, but they think, well, probably later. What? California. Much of California is a highly populated area on a earthquake fault. So any time it can become active, the earthquake. And it does regularly, but it can be a major earthquake. But people take the risk. They think, well, could happen, but probably won't. And actually, it probably won't. If we take it minute by minute, if we're living in, say, Los Angeles in California, and we think that, well, is it likely that within the next 1 minute there'll be an earthquake? And the answer is no. Is it likely within the next 100 years, serious earthquake? Yes. 50 years? Less so, but it is likely to happen at some point. It's just like our own death. Are we, all of us sitting here in this room, are we likely to die within 1 minute? Not very likely. Are we likely to die within 100 years? Sure. Practically certainly. So, there is a great danger that even those who are on the path of spiritual realization, they may fall down into the grossest sexual desire. Even a great yogi like Vishwamitra. And in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, because he was on a higher platform of devotional service to Krishna. He had a similar test, but he didn't fall down. However, we see that devotees who are not on the level of Haridas Thakur, they also fall down. Why should that be? This Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was asked by the yaksha at the side of the pond, what is the most amazing thing in the world? He famously answered, Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti hayamalayam sheshasthavara icchanti kimascharyam atapa param. He said that every day so many living beings, they go to Yamaraj. In other words, they die. But those who are still in their present body, they didn't die yet this time round, they want to make a permanent settlement, permanent position in their present body, even though they know it's not possible. So this is the most amazing thing, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, and that was accepted by the yaksha, who was actually Dharmaraj. But very close second to that, we can't argue and say that it's not the most amazing thing, but almost as amazing, astonishing also, is the power of this sexual desire, which covers the consciousness. We are meant for eternal, blissful life in the service of Krishna, but we instead opt for a completely miserable life, or life after life. And what is that? What is the cause of that bondage? Well, the main, it's sensual desire in general, or the sense of independence. Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. The sense that I'm in control. I'm God. I'm the enjoyer. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. But that specifically manifests as sensual desire, among which sexual desire, the desire of the male for the female, the female for the male, is specifically stated to be the that which causes a hard knot on the heart to form. Pungsastriya mithuni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya grantim ahuhu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya moho yamaham mameti. This illusion in thinking in terms of I, me, and mine is particularly generated by the attraction between male and female. It causes a hard knot on the heart to form. In other words, very strong attachment. And one becomes attached not only to the sexual partner, but also to having a house, property, land, thinking in terms of my country, thinking in terms of my money, my family members, my children. And in this way, one remains in material consciousness. So that is astonishing, and all the more astonishing when we also consider that yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham, that the happiness of family life begins with sex, but it's insignificant. Kanduya nena karyo iva dukkha dukkham. In fact, it's not even happiness. If at all it's happiness, it's the kind of happiness you get when you have an itch and you scratch it, which isn't the world's greatest happiness by any means. And what's more, by scratching it, the itching increases. Tripyantine hakiparna bahudu kabhaja kandutivan manasijang. Kandutivan manasijang. And I forgot the last words. Vishahetadhira. Yeah, those are the important words. So, although the tendency is scratch it, but then we scratch and it becomes infected and we can become a major problem. So, someone who is of sober intelligence, even though his tendency is to scratch, he doesn't. He doesn't scratch. So in other words, one should know that this is against my real self-interest and not indulge in it. Or the alternative is to indulge in it in a regulated way under the laws of the Vedic injunctions. So this is amazing that a great yogi like Vishwamitra, he can fall down. Actually, in more than one way, it's amazing. One way, it's amazing that we can be victimized by this at all. Although, actually, it comes from our own wrong desire. Love of Krishna is very powerful and strong, but if we redirect that love of Krishna into desire for personal sense enjoyment, that also becomes very strong. And then jnanam avritya dehinam, and then that covers our real knowledge of what we're supposed to be doing, what is our existential position, what is the purpose of life. So one thing is that it's so much overrated. If we consider what is this that drives us mad, that we become attracted. If we think What is that attraction? It's an attraction to a bag of skin with bones, blood, stool, pus, liver, kidneys, and intestines, and all kinds of things inside. The saying that beauty is skin deep. That saying, I believe that saying is supposed to indicate that to have a beautiful body doesn't mean that one has a beautiful character. It may be that someone has a very beautiful skin formation, but their character is, their personality is not beautiful. But also taken literally, if we remove the skin from an attractive body, then it becomes most unattractive. And if we're another species of life also, we don't feel attractive. You can take the most beautiful woman in the world and put her with a kangaroo. A kangaroo won't feel attracted in the slightest. Kangaroo feels attracted to a, what would you call that, a kangaree? Female kangaroo. Maybe they're called cows, I don't know. Elephants are called cow. Female elephants are called cows for some reason. They have all different words. But the pig is attracted to the pig. Now, of course, in the modern age where the sexual fever is so pronounced, it's possible that even someone might become attracted to a pig. But we would call that insane. But actually, even the attraction of male to female, that's also insane, because it's just one body to another body. They may say, oh, the personality, this, and that, but it's basically it's a skin attraction. So the pig becomes very attracted to the pig. The worms, the snakes, the frogs, they feel overpowering sexual attraction. They can't think about it. They can't become yogis. But it's the same attraction. Humans are attracted to other human bodies in the same way that earthworms, they wrap their bodies around each other and they feel some great pleasure in doing so. If you see two earthworms wrapped around each other, ugh, how not very pleasant. Would you like to be like that? Well, that's what we get in the cycle of birth and death. 8,400,000 opportunities to indulge in different ways in sex. If we present it like that, people might be very eager for it. Oh, really? I never thought about that. Wow. There's even in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that one Brahmana and his wife, they had taken the form of a deer and a stag, because those forms of life, they can have, they consider that those forms are better for sexual enjoyment. And then the King Sodas, who had been cursed to become a Rakshasa, he just ate the Brahmana when he was about to impregnate his wife. That's described in Bhagavatam. Every species of life, they're just fascinated by this. But what is there? It's so overrated, especially in the modern age. So much fashion shows and pornography. Pornography was already a big thing, and then with the internet, it just became more and more and more. So I'm told. I mean, I don't indulge in it. But it's so much emphasized in the modern age. But we don't find anyone's happy with that. We don't find anyone has, it becomes blissful. It's described by Prahlad Maharaj, Shruti Sukh. One hears about it as pleasurable, But the actual experience may be something less. The contemplation, oh, it'll be so wonderful. But then in the actual act, there's no real pleasure there. It's some bestial activity which doesn't give satisfaction even to the mundane ego. What to speak of the soul? There's no pleasure there. So it's most overrated. And from another aspect, it could be called underrated, in as much as, well, we see the yogi, Vishwamitra, he didn't underrate these sensual attractions. This kind of yoga practice is undertaken to withdraw one from the sensual objects. So the yogis take it very seriously, that the senses bind us up in this material world, therefore we should withdraw from all sensual activity. But the devotee, especially in the line of Rupa Goswami, their motto is to engage the senses in Krishna's service. Where is that verse? Yataham upayunjataha nibandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagi mucchate. What's the first line of that verse? Anasaktasya vishayam. Without being attracted to the sense objects, one should properly utilize them, seeing them in relationship to Krishna. This is called proper renunciation. So the devotee has this license to interact the senses with the sense objects. But if he does that without a very strong sense of Krishna consciousness, which comes from a very strong application to the Krishna bhakti process, then he will take the sense objects to be enjoyable. And in the name of bhakti, it may be actually engaging in sense gratification. Or it may be that there's some mixture of devotion and personal enjoyment. So in one sense, it's very dangerous to, it's extremely dangerous to interact with the sense objects for a yogi. I mean, no serious yogi would try to practice yoga in a big city. It's farcical. They have what they call yoga practice, doing some exercises to make the body more healthy so they can enjoy the sensuality more. It's an insult to all the real yogis in the world, past, present and future, what goes on in the name of yoga. Recently, earlier this year, I was staying in Rishikesh, which has been dubbed the world capital of yoga. And there are many, even though it's a small town, there are many religious or spiritual organizations there. There's Shivananda. They have their main branch there. And Gita Press has a major setup there. And there's this Paramart, which I hadn't heard of before I went there just now, which has a very big thing there, and they call it the world capital of yoga, and they have once every year an international yoga festival, and many Westerners come there. But the Gita Bhavan people, who are associated with Gita Press, they're more conservative. They don't allow Westerners to stay, and they have huge accommodation facilities. They don't allow Westerners to stay because they think they're too fallen, which in most cases they are. They go there and they smoke ganja and have illicit sex and so many things. But the Paramat people, they like that, that so many Westerners will come and they teach them yoga. But the Gita Bhavan people, they criticize. That's not yoga. Gita Bhavan means they promote two books, this Bhagavad Gita and Ramcharitmanas. When I was there, they had a whole festival going on. It was the days leading up to Ram Navami, so a recitation of Ramcharitmanas was going on. So they criticized, this is not yoga, all these exercises, and then they have illicit sex. That's not yoga. In Bhagavad Gita, yoga is described, what they're doing, that's not yoga. Yoga ultimately means yoga yukta munya brahma. The munis practicing yoga, they become linked with the supreme. But this, doing some exercise and this and that, they emphasize all this exercise. That's not yoga. So they're very critical of that. But the yogis, the shucho deshe pratishtapya, in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned, this kind of yoga, in which there are these various postures called asanas. The first thing that one has to go to a pure place. So these big cities where there are all sinful activities going on, completely materialistic and sensual, these are not places for practicing yoga. It's farcical. It's absurd. But bhakti yoga may be practiced in the city, especially for those who are going to preach Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, the city is full of sensual objects, and unless one is very strong in Krishna consciousness, then one will be attracted. Even the great yogi Vishvamitra, he was very strong in practice of yoga, but he became attracted. And he fell down. This is the mighty power of Maya. Mighty power that from one side, in so many ways, by which the living being who is meant to be pure lover of Krishna gets the body of an earthworm, and the great pleasure of an earthworm is to entwine its body with that of an earthworm of the opposite sex. And he's supposed to be dancing with Krishna, but he's such a long, long way away from that. The cow in heat, they'll go wild to get out and mate. They'll jump over a 10-foot wall. the desire becomes so strong. Gyanamavrityadehinam, that completely covers the actual knowledge of the living being. We see even old people, 70 years old, already they have children, great children, and then they may be both widowed, man and woman, and they become friends and they get married at the end. Why? For what? There's no question of sexual activity, but they're just so used to living with the opposite sex that they can't imagine. They need that. They feel they need that energy. The woman feels she needs a man. The man, she feels she needs a woman. So we see even old people becoming attracted to each other with just like the shadows or the airplanes. They leave behind them a trail. So it's like the trail, the leftover trail of some, say the plane already left, but there's still some trail in the sky. So it's something like that. For old people, they can't actually indulge in sexual acts, but still they want to come together to have some traces of that. They become attracted like that. Vishvamitra, why should he fall? But just in a second, his intelligence became polluted. Just after so many years of controlling the mind, just in a second his intelligence became polluted, and he fell down. He couldn't control himself. There was one king of England. He renounced the claim to the monarchy because he wanted to, for the sake of love, he wanted to marry an American divorcee woman. And that whole prestige of the crown, he'd been trained for that. He'd been born for that. then he just left it all and became a commoner. Society degraded more in the meantime, so that Prince Charles, the present incumbent for the British throne, he also married a divorcee, and no one thought that, oh, well, now he can't be the king. They may have thought he couldn't be the king for other reasons, but not for that reason. We see also within our Krishna conscious movement, sannyasis practicing Krishna consciousness so many years. They know what should be done, what should not be done. They know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. They may even speak on these topics, and they just blow it all. They just go off with a woman. Or they may be grihastha, married for many years, and then they just take another. They become attracted to someone else's wife. Just very sinful activities, even though they have the highest knowledge, the highest practice, highly respected, the sannyasi, highly respected, and just loses all of that. Or they may, even we see sometimes sannyasis, they shamelessly go around with a woman wherever they go, they carry and they take around with them. If one is a grihastha, well, maybe, even though Charanakya says that one should not travel with one's wife, but for a sannyasi, there should be no question of having permanent female companion. But they do. And what is this? Why? What is the purpose? What is the purpose? Is there no man who can do that? No male disciple who can perform whatever service? It's just sexual attraction, open, shameless. So, it's an amazing power of Maya, by which we think that I will not be victimized. Anyone who thinks I will not be victimized by Maya, unless they're actually a Paramahamsa, then they're already victimized by Maya just by thinking like that. And the subtle will turn to gross. So Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us these instructions. Vyasadeva has given. Krishna has given. Yehi sangsparsha jabhoga dukha yone evate adyantavanta kauntaya Teshu Ramate Buddha. Krishna warns that the so-called pleasure of interacting the senses with their objects may seem like pleasure, but in all stages, in the contemplation, in the performance of the act, in the aftermath of the act, it simply brings distress. Therefore, an intelligent person withdraws himself from such things. He doesn't take pleasure in this. Hare Krishna. Anything? Question? Comment? Yeah.
Maharaj, could you explain how Prabhupada would often preach on this point that Krishna is the source of everything that we see in Kuta Vrishtan Madhyashayatana? He is the source.
Krishna is the source of everything that we see, you know, and everything that we don't see also.
So he, I heard Prabhupada explaining about the attraction between the male and female in this world is there because it's coming.
Yeah, that's right in the purport to that verse. Srila Prabhupada talks about the Adi Rasa. The original sexual attraction is between Radha and Krishna. So that is love, and when it becomes perverted, it becomes lust.
The Adi Ras is intrinsic to every soul, or?
It's intrinsic to every soul to love Krishna. When we decide not to love Krishna, that becomes perverted into mundane lust. Therefore, it's so powerful. Desire must be there. We either desire to serve Krishna, or we desire to satisfy our senses. That's all. We have the choice. Anything else? All right. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.